Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. There is a better way to practice architecture. When you build a thriving business, you will then have the time and the financial resources to do your best work, to design the architecture that you want to design. We've built a powerful program of resources, training, and community for you, the small firm architect. We'll show you how to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Entree Architect Academy. To learn more, visit the homepage at entrearchitect.com. You are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, and this is episode 181. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. This week, we have another episode from our podcast series called The Entrepreneur Architect, where I am inviting you to come to the show, you, the members of the Entree Architect community, and I want to tell every one of your stories. I want you to be on the Entree Architect podcast. So send me an email at podcast@entrearchitect.com and let us know that you want to be on the show. I want to share your story because we all have a story about how we were inspired to pursue this career in architecture, a story about the people who may have influenced us along the way, a story about how we became entrepreneur architects. This week, I have another great guest on the Entree Architect podcast, Meghna Joshi, entrepreneur architect. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, FreshBooks, Core by BQE Software, and Arcat. And I'm going to share more about these great companies later in the show, but before we get started here, just take a quick note to schedule some time later today, as soon as you're finished listening here, to go visit each one of them and let them know that you appreciate them for supporting us, the Entree Architect community. Meghna Joshi, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. I heard podcasts from you for almost 2 years. I've never imagined that I would be here on the show. It's one of my goals right now.
Oh, that's great. I love having you on the show. I can't wait to hear your story and to learn a little bit more about you. We've been connecting for a long time on social media, and So it's great to have you here on the show and meet you. Sort of in person, you know, when we do these, we can see each other on Skype. And so it's great to see you. So let me introduce you a little bit, let people know who you are. You are Meghna Joshi, and you are an architectural consultant from Irvine, California. And you have 6 of your architectural exams complete, almost there. One more to call yourself officially an architect. You are the founder of Women in Architecture Committee at AIA Orange County in California. Also the Communications Committee team member for AIA California Council and the AIA Orange County. So very active in AIA. Your blogs are published at Equity in Design and the AIA National's I Look Up page, so you can check them out there. And we'll also link to those blogs in our show notes. Meghna moved to the U.S. when she was 22, the day after she wrote her finals for her undergraduate. And with a major in architecture and an employment permit, so you're ready to roll, getting started in the U.S. wasn't too difficult, but sustaining sounds like wasn't too easy. You have a heavy emphasis on concrete construction. Your Indian education sort of left you undereducated in wood construction, which is like the main construction type here in the U.S. So what formed an hour-long study session and quiz now became everyday survival. Meghna has a Bachelor's of Architecture from Karnataka University in India and a Master's of Architecture with an emphasis on green buildings from San Francisco Institute of Architecture. So that sort of gives you a snippet of who Meghna is. What I would love, Meghna, for you to do is sort of give us your origin story. Go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, to pursue this profession, and then tell us that story of your journey to this point where you are today.
Okay. I grew up in a city called Bijapur in India. Bijapur is famous for Gol Gumbaz and other historic monuments. Everywhere you go, every corner you turn, there is a historic monument of architectural significance. You can't escape it. Going to school meant crossing the historic door at the fort, and playing with friends meant running around in the ruins of these buildings. My favorite activity as a kid was to make up a story about someone who lived in these buildings and imagine how life would have been for them. As I stepped into teenage, the influence of these buildings grew on me, and there was just layers and layers of information that they carried. I wanted to be an architect. I wanted to be that person who created something like this and left a story for the generations to come. I think I was 17 when I told my parents I wanted to be an architect. We don't have any architects in our family. I would have been the first one, first woman in architecture, man in architecture, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Big deal. Yeah.
And it was also a time when everybody wanted to be a software engineer. It was the easiest way to come to US and make a career for yourself.
Right.
So it was a little odd for my parents that I wanted to be an architect. But they were both professionals, and they knew that it's not something you do for money. Your career is something you do for life and for your enjoyment. And they agreed. And even on the day of my counseling, my dad asked me, "This is your last chance. Do you want to be an architect? If not, you can go back to something else today." I told him, "No, I want to be an architect."
Give you one last out there.
Yes, one last time. And our counselor told my dad, "Architecture is a princely course. It's not just the fees. You'll be having so many other expenses." But I'm glad my dad said yes, and he helped me through my education, and here I am.
So do you remember what sort of where you learned what an architect was? Do you remember back when you discovered architecture? I mean, you said that you came from a place where architecture is everywhere. So did you sort of grow up knowing that there was such a thing as an architect, that somebody who designed those buildings? So it just sort of was always part of who you were.
Yes. Yeah. I always knew the architects of the historic buildings also. Yeah. In fact, there was a tomb of the architect who designed these buildings, and we used to play there. And on the tomb, it was inscribed that he was the architect of such and such building.
Right.
So it was a part of his legacy, kind of immortalized him. I think that part was more fascinating to me than the contemporary architects and their work.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you end up here in the U.S.? You were educated in India. What brought you to the United States?
I got married.
Okay.
And I wanted to come to U.S. and always sort of my dream to come to U.S. and have a practice here.
And so you got married, you came to the U.S. So did your husband also sort of decide that there was, you know, a reason to come to the U.S. and you sort of decided to establish your family here.
Yeah, better chances and safer environment to raise the kids later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. So once you got to the U.S., what happened from there?
The moment I landed, I thought I'm an architect and I can start my practice right away. But it wasn't so. I got my first job. It was fairly easy to get a job, actually. I went to the interview and told them that I just graduated. So I started my first job as an intern, and it was fairly easy to get in. But then I go to work and everybody is talking about studs, wood construction, and the whole terminology is new to me. I don't get the words that they're talking about. I don't understand the construction details. So I went home and got me some books from Barnes & Nobles and started studying up. It was like relearning everything.
Was that frightening when you sort of got your job? You're like, oh, confident that you're going to roll in. You're well educated. And then all of a sudden everything is different. Was that upsetting?
It was a little, not upsetting. It was more like a stepping stone to getting where I wanted to eventually. Yeah.
Right. So you sort of just had to recalculate where you were and how you get to where you want to go.
Yes.
And then obviously, the AREs and the IDP, and now it's called AXP.
I didn't find out about ARE exams for the longest time after that. I didn't have any architect friends. It was just the people at work that I hung out with and asked questions.
Yeah.
And eventually when I talked to a licensed person, he told me that I need to take these exams.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was the one who suggested that I need to join AIA, network with people my age and know more about what I need to do and get assimilated.
Right.
And I think that's how I started my journey with AIA also. So after I joined AIA, I got my degree evaluated. That was a story in itself, because after I moved, my parents had moved to a different city also. And when I wanted my degree evaluated, they wanted all these transcripts. They wanted syllabus of every class I had taken. So my parents had to go back to that city, get everything, mail it to me, and I had to mail it here to the evaluation department, get my degree evaluated. I think that process took me about 4 to 6 months.
Wow. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle to come here and basically start over.
Yes. I think these days it's easier because you have so much information on the internet and there is so much networking also. Back then, this was in 99. Internet was there, but I don't think virtual networking was still not a big thing.
Right.
You couldn't find all the information you needed by using Google.
Right. And all the social media wasn't there yet. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a big deal. Yeah. Must be much easier today.
Uh-huh.
You obviously had a goal of moving to the U.S. You had a goal of getting a job and becoming an architect. Do you have any other big goals that you have set forth and accomplished and have something to share with us about a big goal?
Licensure is still my number one goal.
Yep.
It's been ongoing for years and years now.
So when was your last one? Because you said you're 6/7 of the way there, right?
Uh-huh.
And so when was the last exam that you took?
I think it was around 8 months ago.
Okay. And so you're step by step getting there. So do you have
Do
you have a plan for that last one?
Yes, I was supposed to take it in January, but there was a health scare with my husband, so I couldn't take it. And the next time I wanted to take it, I had to go to India. My mother had a heart attack.
Oh,
so it's like my test is jinxed.
Yeah.
So maybe third time is a charm, and this time I don't have to postpone or cancel my test, and I can just take it and be done.
So do you have it scheduled?
Yes.
Do you know when you're going to take it? When is it? So we can all celebrate with you.
It's in summer.
Okay.
I'm
great.
Not telling the date. Yeah, I'm not jinxing it this time.
Okay, no problem. But when you achieve your goal, let us know on social media and we'll have a big party.
We'll do.
Okay.
That's the biggest goal. And the other goal is to stay involved in the profession. I know we all go to our jobs and connect with the people there, but I think architecture is not just about the job. We have to be a part of the profession and connect with things outside our workplace. So being with AIA is another goal of mine, and connecting with more architects, connecting with the profession, knowing what's going on and being a part of it. That's a secondary goal and ongoing goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. The AIA has so much to offer small firm architects and sole practitioners and people working their way up. There's sort of, especially in the small firm community, there's a big conversation going on how much the AIA does for the small firms, that a lot of small firm architects feel that they don't offer very much for us. And I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot out there for the AIA. You just have to go find it. And like you said, you have to get involved. And you need to, you make a change. The only way it's going to make a change is to get in there and go do it yourself. And so I commend you for getting involved and being active with AIA. And obviously it's helped you get to where you are today.
It is. It is really helpful. Actually, I wanted to share another thing.
Yeah.
There is a traveling Frank Lloyd Wright exhibit in the Bowers Museum close to us, and they have organized a few tours by architects as docents. And I will be one of the docents for August tours. And this was something I never had on my goals or my to-do list because I didn't even know an opportunity like this would come up. Yeah. So being in AIA, being a part of the profession helps you know such things and be a part of the conversation and the change.
Yeah, yeah. So get involved. Get involved, people. Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect. FreshBooks, Core by BQE Software, and RCAT. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for the whole team by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. My favorite feature at FreshBooks is the automated invoice reminders. It's a simple feature, and I think sending invoices and getting paid is one of the biggest barriers to our success as entrepreneur architects. Who has the time, right? But if we don't send out those invoices, we don't get paid. FreshBooks makes it easy to send out invoices and get paid online with a click of a button. And when your client doesn't pay on time, FreshBooks will send them a friendly email reminder automatically through a simple system that you control. Sign up for a free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. Visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to access FreshBooks for free for 30 days. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. One of the most often requested resources here at the Entree Architect community is project management software. How do we keep our projects and our people organized while we grow as entrepreneur architects? Well, this podcast is sponsored by our friends, the AIA Advantage partner, BQE Software. They are the makers of ArchiOffice. But BQE just released a new product built just for us architects. It's called Core. You may have heard about it. BQE built Core in response to what we want in a project management software. BQE Core lets you practically run your office from a single platform. Time and expense tracking, project management, dashboards, reports, billing, and accounting are seamlessly integrated in an easy-to-use interface that will save you time, effort, and money. And listeners to this podcast, the Entree Architect podcast, can get a free 15-day trial free for Core. Try it out at entrearchitect.com/BQE. EntreeArchitect.com/BQE. If you've been listening to this podcast anytime during the last few months, you've heard me talk about our friends, RCAT. And hopefully you're using their free resources every day as an architect. For those of you who have not yet checked them out, RCAT's a great tool for us small firm architects. RCAT has a huge library of free content, CAD, BIM, specifications, and tons more. And they've done all the work for you. If you need a spec, click over and download a CSI 3-part specification in multiple formats, any way you want it. And how about a CAD detail or a BIM object? They're there, all free, at the click of a mouse. It's super simple. RCAT has tons of building products. Their content is there, ready for you to use, and it's all completely free, and you don't even have to register to download it. Check it out at arcat.com. Have you tried out their newest free tool? It's called Charette. Create a project, assign tasks, share and collaborate with colleagues and clients in real time. Pull content from the ARCAT database or from anywhere on the web and put it in Charette. Keeps it organized in all one place. And guess what? Charette is free too for the Entree Architect community. Visit them at entrearchitect.com/ARCAT, A-R-C-A-T, entrearchitect.com/ARCAT, and click on the Charette icon to check them out and let them know that Entree Architect sent you. FreshBooks, Core by BQE Software, and ARCAT. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. How about a struggle? Have you, obviously, coming from the India to the U.S. and finding that everything is different, was that your big struggle, or do you have other struggles you want to share?
No, actually, I want to share something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So about 4 years ago, I used to work as a stipulated sum consultant, and I was working on a multifamily project. And this was with an architect that I worked with other projects also. So we had a sort of friendship and camaraderie going on. And I wrote contracts still, even though it was mostly verbal, I didn't leave it to that. Still wrote contracts, yeah. made him sign, I signed, documented everything. And the project stopped midway. The client couldn't get funding and the project stopped around 40% of the work through. And by that time, we had spent a lot of time working on the drawings, and we had all-nighters, we worked weekends and all that. But at the end of the project, when the client paid the architect, I didn't get paid what was rightfully my share.
Yeah, I saw that coming. And, So what happened?
But then luckily I had written the contract that said, in case of termination, I need to be paid this, this, and this. And I did demand what was rightfully mine. I did get what I wanted, but it kind of strained the relationship also.
Yeah.
After that, I didn't have the same enthusiasm working with him. It was not, before that, I would take ownership of a project, even though I was a consultant. But after that, it just ruined my enthusiasm. And eventually we parted ways and I worked with different architects. But yeah, that was a huge struggle for me to go up to him and tell him that, hey, this is what you need to pay me and you need to do that the thing.
Right, right. Well, that's a great lesson for people listening. I mean, for one, have the contract, even if it's a friend, right? Because that's what saved you.
Don't leave gray zones when it comes to money.
Right, yeah. So have it written down and then use it. That if it happens, because that's really the struggle, right? Getting the contract is just smart. Acting on the contract, when something like that happens, to actually go back to them and say, hey, I deserve to get paid here, and here's why, and here's the document that says why. And because that takes a lot of courage to have that conflict, because I think a lot of architects, especially me, I don't like conflict. I don't like having that conversation. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But it's something that we have to do. We have to learn how to do that. So
we need to value our services. If we don't value them, no one else will.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, do you feel that had given you more confidence and more strength to deal with it next time?
Yes.
That if it ever happens
again, I write better contracts after that.
Yeah.
And I talk about money upfront. Even if it's a friend, even if it's a person I worked with before, I just repeat my terms again and again so that there's no gray zone. There is nothing left unsaid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't assume anymore.
Yeah. I mean, because sometimes, you know, when you go through struggle, then that's why I ask this question, is because it's not only about the struggle and the story about the struggle and how you went through it, but what it does to you as a person and an architect. Mm-hmm. After it happens, it's something that you have now dealt with. It has given you more strength. It has built you up, and it allows you to become a stronger, more powerful person as you proceed.
Yeah, and I think by sharing that story with others, I'm kind of telling everybody to learn a lesson from my experience and cover themselves.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I love this series that we're doing. We're bringing everybody from the community and just, you know, asking about your story and sharing these kind of struggles and what you did to get through them, because we're all dealing with those kind of struggles, right? We're all dealing with something similar to that. And you know, this podcast and the Facebook group, we have an opportunity to share with each other how we've done things, and we all can benefit from that. So I appreciate you sharing that story. Was there a specific aha moment that you've had in your career where something sort of, this moment happened and everything sort of changed in the way you looked at things?
Yes, it came in late in my career though. So when I was a young immigrant and a young mother and worked in architecture industry, I didn't really have many people to talk to and share what I go through. A lot of people that I hung out with didn't know that architecture doesn't end when you shut down your computer. It stays with you throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really tell people that sometimes I put in extra hours, but that's a personal choice. But I then struggle with the work-life balance.
Yep.
And I just continued with that conflict for a long time. And then I read Rosa Shang's blog about missing 32%.
Yeah.
And I read through the stories of other women and I read their conflicts about work-life balance. And that was my aha moment. Suddenly I realized that it was not a me problem. It was more of a us problem, us as in women in architecture problem.
Yeah.
So that helped me look at it with a new perspective. I don't look at it as a my issue anymore. It's a collective issue. And I think that also inspired me to start the Women in Architecture Committee for AIA Orange County. So yeah, Rosa Shang's missing 32% had a huge influence in me. She not only enlightened me in what was going on and why it was going on, I think she also inspired me to be a part of the change, be a part of the solution.
Yeah, Rosa is doing some great work and and inspiring so many. Rosa is a good friend of mine. She's been on the show. We'll actually link up the show about missing 32% on the show notes. Really doing some great work and inspiring other people like you to continue that, to grow it and create your own committees at your own AIA chapters and elsewhere to make things happen.
It helps a lot to know that it's not one person's issue. It helps to know that many women are going through the same. I really loved being a part of our Equity in Design series.
Yeah. And from my point of view, yes, the mission and the movement is about women in architecture and equity. But there is so much to learn, man or woman, from the Equity in Design movement and the blog, and the things they're teaching there is about becoming a better person, becoming a stronger, more confident person, and claiming what's rightly yours and making change, you know, whether it's equity or any other change that you see needs to be done. It's an inspiring thing that Rose is doing and you are doing. So I thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
So let's get into some quick questions. This is sort of the lightning round of the Entree Architect series here. At what age did you become an architect? At what age did you decide to become an architect? I always miss that
17.
Question. 17.
17.
Yeah.
So it was a firm decision at 17. There was no going back.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your target market? What's the type of work that you typically work on?
I don't have a set target market. I go with the flow. I go with interesting projects rather than a set market type. So far, I've worked with a lot of retail and multifamily. I don't know, in the future, I want to work on a skyscraper someday.
Yeah. Yeah. How about your fee when you're, cause you used to work freelance, you were talking about working freelance. When you were working freelance, were you doing stipulated sum, hourly or percentage?
Stipulated sum.
So it's stipulated sum. You just sort of decide this is the scope of work. This is how much it's going to cost. And we do the work and you pay me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other than architecture, what makes you happy? You have any hobbies or passions?
I blog, I take a lot of pictures, and I'm very active on Instagram, keep posting about buildings, things that interest me, and I volunteer at the AIA chapters. That's how I kind of work on my architecture passions and related passions.
Yeah.
And I attend architecture film festivals. I travel a lot, and every time we travel, we have to go to some place that has architectural significance.
Yeah, yeah. You never get away from it.
Yes.
What's the best advice you ever received?
Get licensed.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about a personal habit or a daily routine that contributes to your success?
I keep a to-do list, be it for personal things or professional things. I have a to-do list and I have priority order. I start the things that need to be done that day. It helps me to get the important things done.
Is that a paper list or is that
paper
online?
List.
Yep, so just a notepad
yeah,
just and
a pencil. Piece of paper, yeah.
Yeah, and so do you integrate your work list and your personal list?
No, I don't.
So it's two separate lists.
Two separate lists. Personal yeah. list is on the fridge at home and work list is at work.
Yeah. Okay. How about a recommended app or an internet resource?
Entree Architect website, of course. I learned a lot of things from your website and Architect blogs. I love Bob Borson's blogs and I love everybody who writes for Architalks. And ArchiSpeak podcast, that's very interesting. I love that too. And Facebook group for Entree Architects. There's a lot of knowledge to be shared there too.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great group. I love the Architalks series. Mm-hmm. For anybody who doesn't know, the Architalks series, you can search the hashtag Architalks. And it's a couple dozen, 50, 60 architects now, writing all on the same subject at the same time every month. So every month it's posted, all the architects, they all publish at the same time and they all write about the same topic. And it's very interesting to see the different perspectives and the different angles architects write about because they're just sort of given a few words as the topic and then we all write about that topic. And so Meghna has been a contributor to that and we'll post her blog link on our show notes as well, so we can get you over there. Also, your Instagram, we'll post that also on the
okay.
We'll get people to follow what you're doing over there.
Okay, thank you.
How about a recommended book, and why would you recommend it?
My favorite book is Eames' Beautiful Details. My daughter calls it a picture book, but the book makes me happy. Charles and Ray Eames are my favorite architects, and I know end of the day, sometimes I just want to look at the details they find in all these everyday things and be inspired by them. It's a very inspirational picture book.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't looked at that one. I'll have to look at that one.
Uh-huh.
So this is the question that I ask everybody, whether it's on this series or whether it's an expert coming on and teaching us something. But what is one thing an entrepreneur architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow? That's sort of a question that sort of, it's something that you can focus on right away and see some results in a relatively short time.
Respect your time and value your talents always.
No, that's a good one. That's a very good one. How about a parting piece of guidance and then we'll wrap up with how we can connect with you.
Be open to new ideas and diverse experiences. Life has a lot to offer. Just be open to everything new.
And then what's the best way if somebody wanted to reach out to you and say hi and connect with you, what's the best way to connect with you?
On LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and on the Facebook group for Entree Architect.
Okay. And we'll have links to all of that. So you can just go to entrearchitect.com. We'll have links to everything that you can connect to with Meghna. Meghna, thank you very much for joining me here today at Entree Architect Podcast at the Entrepreneur Architect Series. And for sharing your knowledge here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
If you liked what we shared here today, I have one simple request for you. Share it with a friend. Pick one friend, just one, that you think might benefit from this episode and share a link for this show with them. Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode181. That's the link to share, entrearchitect.com/episode181. And don't forget to visit the website to learn more about Entree Architect Academy, our private online membership program that's built for you, the small firm entrepreneur architect. If you're struggling, if you're trying to figure out how to get your business to work, you can build a better business. I promise you, we can show you how. To learn more, visit the homepage today at entrearchitect.com. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Think about it. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.